Previously on the group project. The whole city has been shrouded with fog and it stinks. Miss Morwena Slaughter, I'm Daniel Richards. I wanted to extend an invitation.
I've been spending a lot of my time probably down at the Nook.
A young gentleman steps out of his house. He is hit in the face with the stench, and he crumples down onto the grass.
What can it do?
This is not the end of the world that you are here for.
Going to the graveyard to practice her magic.
I'll bring face masks.
So why don't you give me a use magic roll to try and command a spirit?
I see a floating teacup.
Trying to barter my way into a coffee with a good story.
It's dark and spooky, just like you.
It's about two brothers hiding in a cove as they watch the ships of the police drift back and forth looking for them.
Is this normal weird or weird weird?
It seems to be spreading out from the harbor, from around the docks.
We're not supposed to go there.
My favorite places to go are the places I'm not supposed to go.
Well, he lost a game of Hoffentofel.
Smells like Updog out there.
What is Updog?
I just assumed there was a dead whale or something.
Or like, is there a god, or is there a demon that would make a big bad stink?
Come on, kid, you can't be around here.
If the world ends tomorrow, I don't want to have any outstanding debts, that's all.
Because I'm really good at keeping watch and then yelling and running.
You can see effluent or sewage kind of bubbling up out of the ground.
Emily, what do you see?
And it's about this time that you all hear this high-pitched scream.
I immediately rush over to Morwena. Are you okay?
We did the thing where we ran in without a plan.
The winds are starting to pick up and starting to blow at the creature.
Giant, long, bony snout comes jetting out of the slime.
She's preoccupied with her slime rock.
No, I like it. It's perfect.
It won't be coming back for a while.
I can get the book, but it said Cooper Schmidt.
I would like to try and whip up some winds to get the funk off the city. A two-parter.
A two-parter!
So I think we're ready to get back into it. So, I think we had Emily and Morwena going to a bookstore that she does not want to go to get a book that will help them.
Fuck that guy.
What's that?
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. I'd like to start there, and I think we also have Rasmus and Essie trying to find a tall building so Rasmus can do some big magic and hopefully clear the air.
Oh, yeah.
Sound about right?
I believed you that I did that.
This is my world. Everything I say is true. So, Morwena, the bookstore that we're heading to, and I think I called the owner Cooper. Gee, I'm fairly certain that's what I called him. Why don't you like this particular person?
Well, he didn't open up his library until, I'd say, probably 10 years ago. And obviously my library has been existing for beyond my years. It's an old library. We take care of old books. We make sure that we have quality content, etc. We don't carry things like Twilight or 50 Shades of... But Mr. Cooper, in an attempt to... garner more sales, not only opened up his store mirroring the decor of my library, which, to be fair, his isn't actually a library, it's a bookstore that he facades as a library. Any case, so he just tries to sell to people, but he pretends to bring in these old first edition etc. books like I would contain in my library, but they're all knockoffs, or actually reprints, but not reprints, but they're reprints. And he keeps selling shit that's not actually the real deal to people who can't do the research to find that stuff out. So not only is he poaching my business, essentially, he's selling people inferior products at an up rate when they could come to my location, and admittedly have to have an interaction with Morwena, which is unpleasant on its own, but then be able to go and actually consume these books for free within the regular business hours, or offer donations to continue the library's business. Basically, he's an ass.
Right. So he's kind of a charlatan, just selling whatever's popular, whatever will make a buck. Except in this one case, apparently, he actually did stumble onto a useful tome.
Well, the original has been gone for a long time, and Morwena doesn't want to fill her library with reprints, etc. So she's been trying to find an original, or at least a very early reprint of it, and he has like a more modern version that he got fairly cheap off of somewhere. It'll do in a pinch, but there's no other way to get this content.
Gotcha. So you approach the bookstore. Does it have a name?
Oh, it should have a really bad name, shouldn't it? shit.
Like a really bad pun.
Like the Dark Hives?
Well, my first instinct was just Cooper's Poopers, because fuck Cooper.
Stanley, Stockard, and Cooper, purveyors of literary rarities.
I love it. Perfect. He has those skeletons that you get at Halloween that are like bird skeletons, but they have fingers in the wings, or like frogs that have full skeletal structures and not cartilage. He has like those types of skeletons and taxidermied animals in the front window to make it look more spooky and like occult. So of course he'd name it whatever the hell you just said, because that was good.
Stanley, Stockard, and Cooper, purveyors of literary rarities. So as you approach the obvious brick applique front, not real bricks, just panels that look like brick, if you're standing about 3 meters away, you walk in the door, and Cooper is standing behind the desk, and he kind of glances up and looks down at his book again, looks back up, and a little grin crosses his face. Well, to what do I owe the pleasure, weenie?
I swear to God.
I look at Marwena briefly, and I make a mental note. Weenie?
You like that one?
You feel the bun.
The mental note is to never, ever say any word even remotely close to that within proximity of you.
Yes.
So what brings you to my... Oh, what did you call it? Insult to the very concept of literacy.
That's what I called it on paper, yes. Behind closed doors, it's a shithole.
Well, you're behind my closed doors now, and I'm sure a paying customer. What could I do for you?
Cooper, I'm looking for the reprint that you carry of the Ancient Beasts of Sea and Sand, the 1263 version.
Oh, yes, that's a rare one indeed. I think I might have it out back. Have you reconsidered my, I think, generous price?
Generous for you, certainly. Why, yes, Cooper. I would love to discuss prices for your excellent wares.
Oh, well, there really doesn't need to be a discussion. Like I told you, I have a buyer overseas. As soon as the money gets wired in, I'm sending it to him. If you want it, you'll have to beat his price, and he's quite adamant that he gets it.
Cooper, I believe you have some very important secrets that if I let out would cost you a lot more than the difference between selling one of your 10 copies to me versus pretending to sell one of your 10 copies to a gentleman overseas.
That sounds like you're trying to manipulate someone.
Why, yes I am.
Why don't you roll that plus charm?
Marwena has no charm!
Can I help her out with this?
Yes.
Emily just like looks angrily off. I'm assuming my secret is that he sold a bunch of teenage girls misprints of Twilight and promised them that Robert Pattinson would be coming for a signing, but it turned out to just be a guy in a really big wig and glitter. Alright. Manipulate plus charm. Okay. My charm is minus one.
Yeah.
Minus one? You don't say.
That makes me so happy.
I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
I might need Emily's help. Let's find out. What? I rolled a 9 even with my minus 1? What? Wow, how even.
Luckily, dice go to 12.
So they'll do it, but only if you do something for them right now to show that you mean it. Like, reach out, grab a customer by the collar. Hey, you want to know some shit?
This is how Emily helps me. I reach over, pick up her phone, and look up the actor that he hired to play as Robert Pattinson for his Twilight debut, like, announcement thing, and hold up his profile picture.
Well, okay, maybe we could discuss it. He hasn't been forthright with the money. It's news you lose, right? There's no need to, play dirty. Hold on, I'll get it, I'll be right back. And he hustles out through the back door.
Excellent.
Just in case, I don't know, you want to rob the till or something.
I'm not going to rob him, but I'm definitely going to make a mental note of just how much worse it's gotten. Place is a sty. Actually, are there any customers? Are there any customers in the store right now?
Yes, Absolutely.
Marwena's gonna walk over and hand them her business card and go, if you want real books.
Meanwhile, I've started sorting the books just out of instinct as I pick them up.
The person that you hand the card to is startled and just immediately clams up. They stop talking to the person they're talking to, look at you, nod once, turn around, walk out the door.
Excellent.
They're not sure who you are, but you're clearly in charge. Cooper comes back out. Okay, here, look. He sets a book on the table. It's got a distressed leather cover.
I can tell that it's vinyl and fake, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
What's the price, Cooper?
Well, how about half of what we said before? 2,500?
I'm going to... How do I haggle? I haven't haggled in real life ever. I don't know how to haggle.
So I immediately just hand my phone over to Marwena with an eBay listing with the same book. Or, like, not eBay, but wherever we would typically find these types of books.
Probably something like that, right next to the haunted dolls.
And maybe it's not listings of it, maybe it's people asking for it, like, trying to get the book, and they've put the price that they're willing to pay for it, so... It's not so much that this is how much people are trying to sell it for, but it's more this is how much people are typically willing to pay for it.
She's going to slide the phone across and point at the price.
How about this? You can have it, but we don't speak of Mr. Pattinson again. We're even. No one got hurt. No one has to get hurt.
Deal. I will not sick a mob of teenage women on you.
He slides the book across the counter to you. It's a pleasure doing business with you as always, Weenie. And he just kind of sits down behind the counter and picks his book back up.
I'm going to pick up the book and go, thanks, Pooper, and then head out.
That was childish.
I follow Marwena. It's not often that I see her be so almost casual with somebody, but like clearly not comfortable being like that.
It's just so easy to be casual when you don't need to disguise your hate.
Blackmailing them.
I don't even need to pretend to like you. I can just be myself.
Well, but that's what I mean. Like, I know the relationship. I'm pretty sure in my interview, Marwena would have said something along the lines of, if you ever step foot in this store, you're done. So.
Sounds about right.
All right. So we hop back across town to Rasmus and Essie. You are heading for a tall building. Do you have a particular building in mind? I suppose Essie probably knows the city better, but...
Yeah, Essie would definitely know.
Yeah, Essie would know. Megan doesn't. What are tall buildings? Where...
Well, they're like regular buildings stacked on top of each other.
Oh, the sarcasm was definitely coming.
Tall buildings don't exist in Corner Brook. anyway, I don't know. So probably some... hotel or let's do a hotel. Big old hotel.
All right, so we're heading over to a big hotel. It's gonna be, say, one of the newer buildings in town, so it's not like, you know, a four-story old building. This is like
super modern.
Yeah, it's a pretty much just rectangle, you know, like a Holiday Inn or something. Just goes straight up, efficient use of space, good to go. So I suppose that's not too difficult. You just need to get on the roof of this hotel. Got a plan?
Well, I wanted to blow the fog off of Balsam Port, basically into the woods, like into an area that's not going to hurt nobody because people are dying.
Right.
Now, big magic is what it is, but do you need us to have any additional requirements to the spell?
I've thought about it a little bit because getting up high is like one of the requirements so you can actually affect something. And Rasmus is something of an innately magical being to start with, right? Being divine?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go with, you need a focus of some sort. In order to control this much magical energy to do what you want to do, you've got to get up high, and you need something to focus on to send the energy out.
Okay. So on the way to the building, because I assume we can see where we're going from the moment we set off. I'm going to see, like, a corner store on the side and be like, oh, just 1 minute. I got to stop into Jiffy Grosch. And I assume because the fog is affecting people so badly that, like, it's still open, but, like, the people that are in there are just not in the mood to work. It's like everyone's, like, super hungover and sick.
Yeah, the people who are coming in, I mean, being inside does kind of alleviate things a little bit, but people rush in the door, they get what they need, They maybe linger at the door, leaving just a little bit to brace themselves, and then they go out. Everybody wants to get back home, under their blankets, or whatever. No one feels particularly good.
They want to stuff towels under all their doors.
Yeah, they're out because they need to be, and they just want to get it done and get back home and hopefully sleep it off, and tomorrow it'll be clear.
Essie, when we get to Jimmy Grosh, Essie, like, stops outside the door and is like, all right, but go quick. I want to get to the hotel as fast as possible. And then she pulls her sweater up over her mouth and doesn't go into Jiffy Grosh because she goes to the skate shop.
That's some brand loyalty right there.
Yeah. She like hunkers herself and like pulls her sweater up over her mouth and is like, go quick.
She leans up against the wall with one foot on the wall, snapping her fingers. There's going to be a rumble.
Oh no, she's going to cause problems.
Skates versus the Jiffies.
Yes.
The Skates versus the Jiffies.
My heart.
All right, Rasmus, what are you after in there, bud?
So I had a couple of ideas, and assuming it's all right with you, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for one of those, like, really poorly made novelty battery fans. The other idea I had was just a bag of, like, dried beans. Either one, as far as I'm concerned, is a solid plot device.
I like my own personal feelings. I like the fan better.
Sure.
But
hey, it could have unintended consequences if we went with the beans. That's all I'm thinking.
Oh no, it's worse.
So yeah, I'll just go pick one of those up. And then on the way out, I don't know that I really have money. So I'll just, like, pull a poem out of nowhere and just, like, slap it on the counter and be like, that's probably good enough.
Do you want to manipulate them into letting you busk for this?
I will roll and manipulate someone, but I am also walking out the door because I have wind to blow.
Okay. I mean, if you just want to go, odds are they're probably not going to follow you for a $5.99 fan.
$5?
It's a corner store. I mean, what do you expect? You're paying for the convenience.
Poof. Anyway, I rolled a 9 on my manipulate someone.
Okay. Can clearly see that you are just going to take it. And yeah, it's just not worth it, man. You're halfway out the door before they even realize it. They kind of raise their hand. Fuck it.
I'll bring it back when I'm done with it. Thank you.
Keep it. All right. You've got yourself a battery-powered fan.
And then, did you actually go into the skate shop, Essie?
Nope, she waited outside because the skate shop isn't right there. She just waited outside Jiffy Grosh.
So as Rasmus kind of comes out the door, he's just going to kind of look side to side, see you, and then do like a weird hop James Bond point with the fan, turn it on, and then be like, we are good to go.
Great.
And then we'll start running towards the hotel.
All right, she'll run with ya.
So you are heading for, is it just a Holiday Inn? That's like just the most generic sort of like hotel.
What if it's like a Super 3?
It's really, really tall.
Like they're really aware of where they sit in the market. You could be a Super 8, but like, we're not that good. We're a Super 3.5, maybe.
You can see where it was a Super 8 originally, and someone else bought it, and they just kind of painted over half of the 8. All right, so you're heading in?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a pretty modern hotel. It's clean. There's someone standing at reception there. Hi, reservations?
No, just need your roof.
Pardon?
Essie's going to put a finger up to Rasmus and then go up to the lady. And she's going to put both hands on on the counter. And she's going to look right in her eyes and be like, okay, I promise this isn't a dream, but it might be the weirdest thing you've heard all day. We're going to get rid of the stink cloud because we think it's a demon. And we're going to do magic, but we need to be up on your roof. So will you please let us up there so that we can get rid of the stink cloud? And I'm going to use my thing where I tell the truth. And it does something.
Which you roll for that, right?
Yep, I roll plus charm.
Oh, you're the only one of us that's good at that.
Yeah, and 10 plus, they'll do what I say, no questions asked. On a 7 to 9, they do it, but you get to choose one. Either they ask a hard question, they stall and dither, or they have a better idea. On a miss, they think I'm crazy and maybe dangerous.
Okay.
But I'm really charming, so.
You're just a normal, super normal, human, normal girl.
Please look forward to our new spin-off podcast, Normal Human Girl.
You're a witch!
Really? If I had rolled one higher or two, oh my god.
What'd you roll? Was it bad?
Yeah, I marked experience. It was literally more likely for me to have succeeded. What the hell? Anyway, that's a 5 for the listeners.
I'll just remind you, luck exists, but failures are also interesting. So just want to make sure you've got all your options there.
You know what? I want to use luck. I've got loads of luck to use. I feel like this is an important thing.
All right. Pretty sure it's a non-renewable resource, so.
I also have no other idea of how we'd get on the roof, so. I will use luck, and now it's a 12.
So just believes you, huh?
They'll do what you say, no questions asked.
Okay, fine. In the spirit of no questions asked, but narratively it just makes more sense. So you're gonna fix it all up?
Yes.
You think you can make it go away?
We hope so.
On roof.
We can at least make it go to the side.
All right, I mean, that's not gonna hurt.
Right? We can't make it worse.
Just stay away from the edge, okay? There aren't any rails up there.
Yeah, good to know.
And she punches into the machine and swipes a card. And you're like, okay, I need this card back. You have to bring it back to me. All right? This will get you in the service entrance at the top. Take the elevator all the way to floor 7. And the service exit out to the roof is at the end of the hallway.
She'll take it and go, thank you. I will bring it back and put it back in your hand.
Appreciate it.
She'll stick it in her pocket.
If you can make this go away, it'll be worth it.
And we'll head to the elevator.
So you have made it to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a whole lot to get in your way there.
Perfect.
Just a montage of us standing in the elevator with really cheesy music.
So, Rasmus?
So, what I want to do when I get up on the top is I'm going to start drawing out in the kind of gravel flat top a big circle to try and, like, as a focus for my focus.
So I think there's still some rolling to be done here? Oh no. There we go.
I believe it just functions under normal use magic.
There is a big magic header.
Yeah, it just talks about, like, adjusting it.
Oh yeah, specification. So yeah, you just make a use magic roll. That sounds about right.
Cool. So after I'm done drawing the circle, I'll just cut myself a little bit and, like, add some blood to the circle for the last couple of sigils. And then take the battery-operated fan and kind of, in the exactly same cheesy James Bondy kind of way.
You gotta believe it.
Yeah, because it's power of belief. I'm gonna point it into the wind and start singing.
I suppose. So, into the wind. Are you pointing with the prevailing wind right now or against it?
Oh, that's a good question.
There's not a ton, but there is some air movement up here.
I think I actually misspoke. I think what I wanted to do was point it in the direction I wanted things to go, which was, like, out to sea. But I'm going to start singing Gone with the Wind.
Is that a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gone. Am I making that up? No.
You're thinking of a movie. You might be thinking of Dust in the Wind.
That's it. Thank you. But in this universe, it's Gone with the Wind.
Right. And it's called Indiana, not Kansas. All right. Cool.
All we are is gone in the wind.
All right, let's see that roll. And by see that roll, I mean say it out loud, because I can't see it.
Yeah, that's a 9. So it works imperfectly. So my effect will go off, because I'm using big magic. And then you get a glitch.
So you get to choose the glitch?
It has a problematic side effect.
So what happens as you're pulling this together, standing in your circle, you can feel the wind start to pick up around you. And sort of starts to follow the line that you've drawn in the gravel. And then you can see it tendril out in the direction you're pointing. It kind of comes up from the ground through the fan and points out. And it starts to kind of pull the miasma along with it. And you can see the foggy cloud come in closer, right? It's kind of gathered up. It circles around.
So I'm sucking it in first.
Yeah, it's being pulled in and pushed out. And it's carrying fog. Like, you're not pulling the entire volume along with, like, in first. As it travels out, you can see more kind of getting pulled in to go with the flow. But the immediate surrounding is getting pulled in towards you to give it that push. So the wind picks up, and sort of the further it cones outwards off the building, pulling all the fog along with it and pushing it out to sea, the sky begins to clear some. It's still a little overcast, but it's not green. And you've cleared the city. Essie, from where you're standing, Rasmus stinks. Like, he smells real bad. Even from a couple meters away, you can still, when the wind shifts a little bit, you know, it goes from nice clean air around you, the first clean air that you've smelled in 2 or 3 days. And then the wind will shift a little bit and you can smell it. It's not as nauseating. You're not on the edge of throwing up or anything, but it's there and it's obvious.
I just pull my sweater back up over my mouth as I walk towards Rasmus and just go, oh dear, I don't think, I mean, you did it, but, dude, you reek.
Not all of us come from a culture where we shower every day.
Rasmus! Ew! Ew! Dude! So, okay, we did the thing, but you, yeah, you stink. I would like to immediately go back down to reception and give the girl her keycard back.
You notice on your way down the hallway, one or two doors actually open for a second, and you catch the glimpse of one of the people stick their heads out, just, what the f-? And then when they see Rasmus and realize that's where the smell is coming from, because it's suddenly gotten smellier inside, they slam the door shut again.
Jesse just rolls her eyes and keeps walking.
I really want to deflect. So, I can't remember what pickled herring is called, but I'm just gonna start talking shit and be like, you'd love pickled herring. You'd love it so much if you tried it. Because from what I understand, that's like a room clearer.
Lutefisk.
Yeah.
That's like the half-rotten one.
Yeah, so lutefisk is what I would be talking about then.
Yeah, you could really say anything that sounded vaguely Scandinavian, I'm sure. The people of Balsamport would believe you. Yeah, so I go back to reception, and as we, like, exit the elevator, I'll turn to Rasmus and be like, you go outside right now.
Okay, I'm gone.
All right, Essie, as you're coming up to the reception counter,
mm-hmm.
You dropped your key somewhere.
The key card?
Yeah, and it's not in your pocket.
God, it's...
It smells better. I appreciate that.
Good.
Rasmus is just walking out the door, be like, all we are is gone in the wind.
Well, okay, smells better now that he's gone. What the hell did you do?
It's easier to just not explain it.
Okay.
But I just remembered that I was wearing a ring, and I think it fell off when I was up at the roof. So I'm just going to run back up and take a peek for it there and, like, through the halls where we walked. But then I'll be right back.
Okay, hon.
And give you a key card.
Fine. It's fine. But...
But we made it better.
Yeah, just don't get caught up there, alright?
Ah, nah, I'm good. I'll be fine. Don't you worry. I don't even know your name. I wouldn't even know who to tattle on. Okay, bye. And I go back in the elevator.
Okay. So you're heading back up top?
Yes, but the whole time I'm, like, looking at the floor and, like, checking every pocket or any, like, weird places, like, that I would have stuck it or, you know.
So when you get up to the top floor... And get to the end of the hallway, you realize you don't have the key card to go out the service entrance to get onto the roof.
Right. Right. Right.
So I suppose your options at this point would be to either tell her that you lost the key card, or I guess you could just try to sneak out one of the back doors.
Essie's gonna, like, she's gonna jiggle the handle a couple times just to make sure that it actually, like, latched shut and isn't, like, maybe potentially unlocked.
Mm-hmm. It's locked. Clicked right shut.
Yeah. Do one more pocket check.
Found a caramel. That's any consolation.
Save that for later.
Yeah, you don't remember when you put caramel in that pocket or the last time you cleaned those jeans. But it's there.
Okay, she's going to take a second and, like, see if there's any, like, obvious, like, stains or dirt or food on the jeans.
No, they're not too bad.
Okay, she'll make a mental note.
I mean, it's not like anyone can tell. The city stank for, like, 3 days, so if they're a little old.
It's fine. She's going to check her bra. Make sure she didn't stick it in there. No key card in the bra?
Nope.
Just gonna check around the door again?
Nothing.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out if she would be more likely to sneak out or tell her the truth.
I mean, it's a hotel in your own town. What are the odds you're going to have to come back in here?
It's like one of the nice ones too, right?
Nah, it's in a condo box. It's fine. It ain't dirty or nothing. Breakfast is okay. Nothing to write home about.
Okay. How old was the receptionist? Was she like Essie's age? Was she like middle-aged woman? Was she like younger than Essie?
Probably mid-late 30s.
Okay. You know what? There are monsters to hunt. So Essie's gonna sneak out.
All right. So you're just gonna duck out the back door?
She's gonna try to. She'll make a mental note to, like, figure out a way to fix this later, but she's bigger fish to fry right now.
So it's just, like, a back parking lot entrance, you know, where you park around back. You don't really need to roll for this. You just kind of leave. You don't need to go past reception.
Cool.
I mean, there might be security footage, but that'll only come up if it's narratively convenient for me, so.
Of course.
All right. So do you meet up with Rasmus again? Maybe not directly outside the front doors?
Yeah, like, she'll go around the corner and be like, Rasmus! Rasmus, over here! Rasmus!
And he's just, like, moonwalking. He's just grooving out. He's like, I did the thing! I did it! And I did it, and I did it good!
He gets closer, and you really wish he wouldn't.
I, like, hold up my hand.
I high-five it.
Good job.
We did good! What do you want?
You...
Let's go find the others.
Okay.
You look bum. What's going on?
Lost the key card.
Oh.
Yep.
You know what? Don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away. Oh, we are.
It's coming in the wind.
And then they just run off and start trying to find the two ladies.
Essie rolls her eyes again.
Fortunately, we live in a world where cell phones exist. So if y'all four want to just meet up somewhere, that's cool.
We were probably heading back to the library, I suspect, after collecting the book from Cooper's.
Okay, sounds good. Oh yeah, Rasmus, the batteries in your fan are dead too.
Oh.
Yeah, well.
Took a lot of juice.
It did. It surprisingly takes more than two AAAs to completely clear a city of a toxic miasma.
Can I, on the way back, return it to Jiffy Grush? I'm sure they'll want me out of there real quick.
Real quick. So if you just want to go in and, like, drop it on the counter.
And ask for my poem back.
What? Fucking reaches around. You hear some shuffling that sounds surprisingly like a garbage can. And he hands you a crumpled piece of paper.
Okay, talk.
Bye.
On the way out, I look around, see if they have any Lutefisk.
They don't.
Perfect time to eat it, though.
Don't even need to roll for it. So, I guess Rasmus and Essie get back to the archive well after Emily and Morwenna, since no cab is going to stop to pick them up. So, Morwenna and Emily, you've got a little time on your own while the other two make their way back.
I'm going to start going through the book, see if I can find references to this specific beast, which I think is in this book, or if nothing else, to different ways to, like, banish or destroy water-based demons. Monsters, etc. Also, I guess since I'm in my library, I don't know if that would still give me the same boosts, where I'm not necessarily looking at one of my library's tomes.
You don't need to roll, because, like, your roll is what got you the book for just what you needed. So, like, it's the right thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how it works, because it'd be a real bum thing for you to, like, ace a roll and then go, oh, I guess it was the wrong one.
Well, I also have, like, lore library, which means I get a +1/4 to investigate a mystery, so long as historical references or works are appropriate. So that's why I was like, I don't know if I use that or just keep going.
Yeah. You don't find a reference to this exact body plan, but you do find a very similar description of something called a plague corpse. Basically...
Gross.
Yeah, it can be any number of things. It's a reanimated skeleton that gives off this disgusting miasma and has been known to kill entire villages. For a long time, no one knew what was actually causing the sickness, the miasma, because, like, in small villages, a lot of people would be overwhelmed and, you know, too sick to work or feed themselves. And basically, it would kill an entire village well before the actual creature would manifest. But yeah. You got a plague corpse on your hands there, young lady.
Did I find anything about, like, anybody finding ways to destroy plague corpses? Because I feel like setting it on fire won't do much because it's just going to crawl back into the water and extinguish itself.
You must impale it through its heart. The heart is where the sickness spreads from. Of course, as you saw with that creature, it's not alive, right? There are chunks missing out of it. It doesn't have a circulatory system. It's just roughly in the center. There is an engorged, not glowing, but a heart-like thing that beats and thumps. And you must run it through.
I must impale this mofo. Well, that means we're going to need to get a real big pointy thing, because it's the size of a whale.
I wonder if they've ever made any big pointy things for stabbing whales. Let me think about that a little bit.
Nope.
That I have access to.
Perhaps at a maritime college.
Are we going back to prom?
Well, I don't know if they'd necessarily have one at the Maritime Academy. They don't exactly teach whaling anymore.
Anymore. That was gone 2 years ago. Due to a tragic freshman hazing accident.
It's perfectly harmless. They tie them to the harpoon, they fire the gun. If you don't finish your beer before you hit the ground. So yeah, a harpoon would work. I suppose if you, some sort of lance. You know, not quite as thematically appropriate, but...
Try to think if my library would have any of these oddities.
Your library does not have a harpoon.
No, but like a lance or a... Yeah, or like a really big sword.
Or a spear.
Well, you definitely have at least one sword.
Yeah, I have my sword. That's about it. All right, we gotta think of...
Do you got a long stick? Some duct tape?
Tape a sword to it! I mean, I do have a blessed knife and a magical dagger. I don't know if one of those would do much damage, but we'll see. I'm trying to think if I could use magic to make, like, a magical spear or something.
Together, we might be able to summon one. Well, we have enchant weapon. We could just get a long stick and make it magic.
That's true.
Right? I mean, that's not a stupid idea. I actually don't hate that. And if we do that, we can make a bunch.
Yeah, since none of you really are, like, artificers by trade... I would treat it like a big magic type thing. It's not exactly big, but like a little more complicated than your usual magically pick a lock or something.
All right. Yeah, I say once Rasmus and... Oh, God. Can I use magic to get rid of his stank before...
You can try. Anything is possible with magic.
Oh, God. Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, I forgot we're coming to your archive. This is going to be bad for you.
When you guys were texting back and forth, did you mention the fact that Rasmus smells like a dead skunk?
Essie probably would have.
Okay, so he can't come inside until I get rid of the stank.
Do we have a group chat going at this point? Because I feel like Essie would have started a group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole Slack channel for it.
So first I'm going to roll to try and use magic to get rid of his stank, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to use magic to bar a place or portal to a specific person or a type of creature. He cannot come in my building.
I love it. It's now a war. I will get in there one of these days.
Let's try this.
All right, go for it.
12!
Wow.
I'm de-stanked.
I believe that means I get rid of the stank.
Yep. I think you do it perfectly.
And the effect would be one thing beyond human limitations.
He opens the door and just like this gust of water and wind comes out and just gives him a power shower as if he went through a fucking like car wash. Whoosh. Excellent.
And I immediately hand him a roll of paper towel.
He's mostly dry because of the gust of wind that came afterwards, but I like to think he still has some of the, like, rainbow wax on his face or something.
Yeah, it's like one of those ridiculous fucking, like, shampoo commercials.
Yeah, his mustache is curled now.
I love it.
He now has a twirly mustache that's curled on the ends from all the wax.
Yeah, perfectly waxed beard.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Rasmus, you aren't entirely sure what hit you, but you feel great.
He takes up a defensive posture and kind of just, what the fuck was that?
All right. So, we got to kill a big gross monster.
Gross!
Yeah.
So we need a big gross monster killing thing. So I think we're on to working on the procurement phase now. Who's up?
I assume we're all just kind of sitting around the library discussing our plan. And I'm just going to come up with a bunch of books, maybe about seven or eight books that I'm just going to put on the table. And the top one is Moby Dick, and all of the other ones are whale related.
Well, we had talked about doing magic to, like, enchant the Lancers or...
So are you looking to completely magically form a weapon, or do you want to go find something that you can enchant?
I feel like we'll have to get a bunch of, like, big sticks or something, and then...
Like, couldn't we just buy 2x4s, put a point on them, and then cast enchant weapon?
Possibly.
I was thinking, too, looking at, like, the big magic, the requirements, we could do a montage where they're, you know, you need to experiment with the spell, there's lots of failures before you get it right. It's like the montage of, like, we enchanted this one. It just, like, goes from being a solid piece of wood to, like, a noodle. And then finally, we get the one that works.
This one's almost perfect, but the point is on the wrong end.
Damn it! To test them, we're just, like, throwing them into Jell-O.
It's not even ballistic gelatin. It's just regular Jell-O.
Yeah, it's just Jell-O.
It's not even a block of... It's just a bowl of Jell-O that you keep knocking off.
That's assuming we're hitting it.
I'm glad you're all seeing what's in my head.
Also, I'm pretty sure Morwenna didn't let us set this up in the library, so this is, like, just outside.
Well, we are all outside with safety glasses on for Jell-O splashes.
Essie's sitting with her legs crossed, eating a bowl of Jell-O. I mean, if we're really strapped for it, Essie might pull on her knowledge of volunteering with the local summer Shakespeare group. Because our last show was Julius Caesar, so we can try and dig out some of the spears used by the background Roman centurions.
Perfect.
So Essie's gonna go try and pilfer some stage weapons?
Yeah. I mean, they're not sharp, but I'm sure we can sharpen them.
Starts with a key card, and now you're stealing things from the theater.
She helped work on the props, so she's allowed in there.
I think, like, if we wanted to kind of combine some big magic things just to set the scene, it's like the multiple experimentations, so some of them fail, and also you need a lot of people, 2, 3, 7, 13, whatever. So it takes all four of us to get the spell right. Like, maybe they have to hold down the weapons as we try to enchant them because we're trying to enchant it to go flying out and attack something for us. It's trying to get away as they try to, like, enchant it, so they have to hold it down. We have to work together to enchant it. And when we get there, we have to all four be holding on to whatever the thing is so it doesn't fly off and just hit something random or whatever.
I like it.
So, yeah, it's going to take some experimenting. So, do you want to do a couple of small-scale experiments while Essie's off getting the spears? Enchanting
with
pencils and the like?
With toothpicks and pencils, yes.
Do we want to say, like, we have to have so many successes before we're allowed to have it work? Because between the three of us, we can all magic.
Yeah, I'd like to make it not difficult necessarily. This is going to be a little bit risky if you're going to try to enchant something. So, I mean, just so you guys know the score, failures, like significant failures in this, could cause damage to your person.
Yeah, part of that.
Also, we're effectively mixing three types of magic.
Essie doesn't understand magic, so she's just trusting her magic friends.
So yeah, if you get three successful use magixes, then you will have worked out how to properly enchant a spear.
I was going to say that Essie is here to be the heart of the matter, you know, like, heart! And then I realized, no, we're trying to stab a heart, so maybe not.
Yeah. No, you don't want the heart of the group anywhere near this right now. It's risky.
So do we want one person to make all three rolls, or do we want to each make a roll since we're each taking part in the enchanting?
It is however you want to divide it up. So if one of you wants to make rolls and just keep trying and then have someone help,
well,
you can do it that way.
Marwena has +2 weird. I will just say that.
And Emily has +3.
I'm also +2.
Oh, okay. So we're all good. I say we each take a roll.
I mean, you can decide roll by roll how you want to do it, right? You know, if Morwenna gets a friggin' pencil in the arm, she can, you know, sit it out for a couple of minutes. All right, Emily, tag her in.
We just need three total.
Yeah, three total.
All right. Morwenna's going to go first, then.
What are you counting as a failure, though? Under 7?
Yeah, basically.
I rolled a 6.
Nice.
Merc experience.
Yep. Now, 6 is almost a pass. I think either one of you can try to help, can't you? Or do you need to decide to help beforehand?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Hold on. When you help another hunter, roll +cool.
Yep. It's okay to see what the result is before deciding to help out, as long as it still makes sense that the hunter could do something to help improve the results. either one of you can decide to help. You can see that Morwena is kind of losing control of this first attempt. So if you want to...
I'm about to hit y'all with pencils.
Yeah, but if you fail to help, you are also exposing yourself to the same danger.
I think just by the nature of Morwena and Emily's relationship, I would probably be helping out anyways. Kind of as the student. And that's cool, right?
Yeah.
8.
So 8 is... You get plus 1 to the roll, you also expose yourself to trouble or danger, which gets her to the plus 1, gives her just barely a success. So you get to choose your glitch. The effect is to enchant something. So yeah, you get to choose your glitch. The effect is weakened, the effect is of short duration, you take 1 harm, magic draws immediate unwelcome attention, it has a problematic side effect. Effect is weakened kind of just makes sense since you're testing it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think effect is weakened.
So you're not quite there yet, but that's one.
Finally stabs my arm a little bit.
Do you want to go next, Jocelyn? Well, actually, before we move on, what did you make, Morwena?
I think since we're working on the prototypes, I took a pen or a pencil off the table and tried to see if I could direct it into a certain space. So instead of doing any damage, maybe what it did was it just sort of like flew at the thing sideways instead of hitting with the point like it was supposed to. But I got it to move, at least.
I would say for the sake of it, probably a pencil, because that's also made of wood.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As much as anything needs to make sense here.
And we probably have a lot of them in the library already.
So who's making the next roll?
I'll make the next roll, but I do have a question.
Sure.
So my magic is based off the spirit stuff. I have the plus one forward still from last session for Command Spirit to pick up a teacup-sized object. So if I'm making something that's throwing it, can I use that plus one on this pencil roll to make it magic? Because, like, that would be the right size.
I wonder if you're actually enchanting it at that point, or just getting the ghost to throw it for you and going, ooh, look, I enchanted it. I'm so good at this.
That would be, so my intention would be to enchant it. Like, that's what I'm trying to accomplish. But for, like, the throwing thing, like, the enchantment that I would be aiming for is, like, make it strong enough and able to pierce. And as far as I'm concerned, ghosts would be throwing it and making sure it lands to where it goes.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of approaching it because, like, Morwena tried her book learning type magic, and I guess your type of magic is more asking the spirits to lend some of their strength.
What if you, like, bound a spirit to it? Or is that not, it's still a little too aggressive?
That is definitely something that Emily hasn't had the idea to do yet.
Well, I don't hate the idea of you figuring that out. Like, we're trying to make prototypes based on new stuff, right? You gotta think of it sometime.
Yeah, that's definitely an option, either binding a spirit if you're trying to actually impose your own will. I guess it depends on what you see your relationship with the spirits as, whether they're subservient to or something you ask for help from.
Up to this arc, basically, these last two episodes, it's been definitely ask for help. This episode, it's trying to assert herself, trying to not give them the option to back out. So
you're trying to bind a ghost... a spirit, I should say, not a ghost necessarily, to this. What are you enchanting?
Probably another pencil. Those are what we have in abundance, and I think that's probably the most similar to what we actually want.
And you want to use your forward on that?
Yes, I'm going to use my forward on that because it does have to be within the same size range.
I suppose it wouldn't be much good on one of the spears.
No. 10.
Cool. So I think that just goes off without a hitch, doesn't it?
Works without issue. So, for this here, I am demanding that this pencil become the weapon, like, not the actual weapon, obviously, but, like, I'm demanding that it become, like, dangerous like the weapon, but scaled down to pencil, and I'm telling the spirits that this is their purpose.
So, you can feel it, it's like an argument without words, your will versus the will of whatever ambient spirits are floating around, and you can feel it sort of as you close the lock on the spirit to tie it to the pencil. And it accepts this purpose. So what do you do with it?
So we said we were throwing it at Jell-O?
Yeah, like a big bowl of Jell-O.
And actually, I think we probably put some candy that Essie had in the middle of the Jell-O to be the heart. So I take the pencil and I just, as best Emily can, throw it at that and aiming for the heart.
So it strikes, and when it strikes the Jell-O, it doesn't actually sink in very much. It hits... Like, it flies true, but it strikes, and you almost feel a backlash. You get a feeling of upset, anger from it when it strikes, because that's what you're aiming at. And you get the impression that the spirit is not happy that you have wasted its purpose, because you have given it the purpose of a weapon, which is meant to hurt, and you are not doing that.
Oh, I get it. It's mad that it wasn't hurting anything?
Yes, because you gave it a purpose, an explicit reason to do this, and you forced your will on it, so it must kill. Of course, it's a pencil, so it's not really all that dangerous. Something to keep note of when binding spirits, be very careful.
I definitely take note. I don't really feel bad about wasting its purpose, but I take note.
Because you're not dealing with just a force, right? You're dealing with something that has maybe not sentience necessarily, but it does have some will of its own. So, yeah. It has been a learning experience.
I mean, that's all of my magic. All
right. So that's a second success.
Rasmus is going to walk over to the jello, pick out Emily's pencil that she threw in, and just start absentmindedly almost carving runes into the end of it. And then he's going to start just explaining that, you know, Odin had a spear. Odin had Grungnir. And they said that it was so well balanced, you could throw it at anyone you want, and it would hit them dead in the heart. And then, so the effect that I want is that when I take the pencil and throw it up into the air, it's going to grow into a really long throwing spear. But then as I go to catch it again, it's going to turn back into a pencil.
Neat.
So I apparently need help with that. I rolled a 6 for my magic.
Yeah, that's super cool. I love it. I got to find a way to put some sort of limitations on that, because I cannot have you walking around with a 12-pack of number 2 throwing spears.
I know,
but it's
right?
Super cool.
Isn't that dope?
Marwenna, I feel like this would be a little bit more in your camp with, like, runes and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. What am I rolling? Plus weird on this as well?
Cool.
Plus cool. Okay. I rolled a 10.
Yay!
So I think that means you just help good.
Maybe as he's finishing carving the runes, she looks over and just, like, finishes a tail on it.
It would also be funny if when I threw it in the air, you caught it. And then, like, put it back in a jar.
You throw it up, and it only, like, half of it gets long. And she kind of catches it and, like, finishes the rune. And, well, I suppose your glitch there, the effect is weakened? I don't know. How do you want to do that?
I'll take one harm.
So, yeah, she passes it back to you, and you try it again. You toss it up into the air, and it grows. But it grows just a little too quickly as you flip it up.
Like, pierces my hand or something.
Yeah, the tip comes down and kind of gives you a good slash on the arm, because one harm is kind of significant, so you get bloodied.
Sure, that's fine. I just think it makes more sense with what I was trying to do.
It's just me and Emily both like,
Now, I think what we're going to do with this, because you're still, like, in the case of this, you're still dealing with a pencil. So, you know, with the enchant weapon, plus one harm, plus one magic, well, I mean, a pencil is zero harm. So you get, it's a one harm weapon when you throw it, but I think this is going to be single use, because it is just based on a pencil, which is not particularly strong.
Okay, well, we're waiting on, because these are all our experimentations while we waited to do the final actual one on the prop spear that Essie brings back.
So just if you want to use those, like use enchanting a pencil, because that's super neat. Yeah, we're going to make them somewhat limited durability, but fucking handy. So, Essie, you're cruising down the block to the local community theater. I'm wondering, does this require roles? What kind of roles would we go with?
Operating under the assumption that she's volunteered with them before.
Now, would she have a key for getting in? Is she going to have to go talk to someone?
I think she might, because where she... I don't really know what Essie does as a full-time person, really.
Bonbons.
Yeah, bonbons now. But I think she has a lot of weird free time, so I think she kind of took on a props role. Like, you know, maybe volunteered a little bit as, like, helping out, but now does, like, prop management sort of stuff. So I think she might have a key. She's charming enough that she would have talked herself into getting a key so that she can work on weird side projects in the workshop.
But she wouldn't just go and lose immediately.
Yeah.
She's trustworthy like that.
Every, like, so often she'll still pause and, like, triple check her pockets to make sure there's no key card.
Yeah, you know what? It seems contrived. to get in your way with this. You came up with a solution. It works. I like it.
If nothing else, like, a lot of people probably still think that the air is gross outside, so there's probably not a lot of people around.
Do you grab anything? Like, do you grab some other props to kind of make it look like you're, you know, like, oh, look, you got like a helmet and a cloak over one arm too. See, I'm just carrying these off.
Yeah, so she'll grab, she's going to grab two spears and two cloaks. Because, you know, then it's, you know, I have to costume two people. It's for a photo shoot. And she will also grab a shield. So she's got the shield strapped onto an arm and she's holding.
I see Essie's, like, train of thought. It's just, it's worth pointing out. The spears are because you plan to enchant them and make them magical. The shield, they haven't done any testing with and is still just a prop shield.
Oh, yes, no. Like, that is the thing. Like, if someone is like, what are you doing walking around with those spears? Oh, I'm doing a photo shoot. Two people have spears. One person has a shield. It's part of her whole shtick. She's gonna drop the shield. It's literally just so it doesn't look as weird, her just carrying spears. It's the spears and the cloaks and a shield.
Just to have an ungainly mess of things in your arms so you don't look the least bit threatening.
Yeah, right? Like, oh yes, I'm doing a photo call. I'm doing a promo shoot.
Sure. So you get back to the archive, spears in hand, and I guess now all you have to do is enchant them. So if the three of you decided exactly which type of enchantment you want to use out of the three that you've found here.
I mean, why can't we do all of them?
All on one spear.
Yeah.
We're talking about Captain Planeting this. By our powers combined, we have one good spear!
And maybe a backup spear.
Yeah, like Essie brought two in case you fucked up the first one.
Oh, you know us so well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I'm thinking, since we'll make this a difficult big magic thing, is to make this work, is all three of you need to succeed.
Oh, at like the same time?
Yeah, like three simultaneous successes.
We've all got luck. It's fine.
However you want to do it.
Essie is just going to sit on the floor a couple feet away and eat the Jell-O.
Oh, that might not be far enough.
Kabow!
So let's try some rolls.
Okay, so I rolled a 9, but I actually still kind of want to use a luck on this one. I want it to be perfect, and I'm really commanding. The other spirit, it was to be a weapon to kill. This one here is a weapon to kill the whale.
Okay.
Very specific.
Which, yeah, in your mind, the whale, it is clear what you mean because you are putting that impression on it. Because, of course, your whole thing is...
Yeah, the plague corpse. It is the weapon to kill that. That is its purpose, and... My eyes probably go all black when I'm casting this. I wouldn't be surprised if all of the color in me is drained.
I think that watching you do this, Rasmus is going to think you're going to be key to starting the apocalypse. And that's not a joke. Like, Rasmus is already a little sketched out by you and your weird ghost powers. And seeing you go all, like, exorcist on this spear is going to make Rasmus be like, oh, okay, if I push you, I can probably jumpstart this apocalypse when I need to. Like, that's good information to know.
If you're using a luck on it to get that hard of a result, the other three people in the room, you all feel just an oppressive pressure. You just feel bad, like someone has been yelling at you for half an hour straight. That sort of defeated sad comes over you.
Goth magic?
Yeah, goth magic. And Essie, you not being a... magic type person at all, it hits you pretty hard because you have no other way to internalize it. Morwena, I mean, knows no regrets anyway. She lives her life without regrets, but
by the books.
Yeah, literally by the books. Especially since she has been teaching Emily, like, she has a familiarity with the sort of like powerful emotions that can be drawn out by her powers. But you don't have that sort of background, so it is just crushing. You're actually tearing up a little bit. You feel so fucking awful right now. It does pass, but, like, it hits you hard.
She's gonna, like, set the jello down and scooch back a bit and pull her knees up to her chest and, like, put her back against the reception desk and just keep watching.
Yeah, Rasmus, same thing. You get that feeling, but also your strength of personality and purpose. Like, ooh, I can end the world with this. Morwenna, you might find this just a little bit concerning, because you haven't seen Emily display this amount of power before.
Also, Morwenna doesn't know about my secret learning and practicing in the graveyard.
Right. And Emily, you feel real good about it. Like, you definitely fucking whipped that spirit into shape. And you know that sometimes you kind of get a feel, like, an impression of the spirit. You know, like, vaguely the shape of it, or you'll kind of get a residual feeling. This time, it is just beneath your notice. You don't notice anything about the spirit except for the fact that it is subservient to you, just like it should be.
I love it.
All right. Who's next? After everyone collects themselves.
Yeah, I guess Mermaid will go next. She'll probably like, that's probably not good. Well, spear time!
We'll stab that whale when we get to it.
7.
It's a success.
Works imperfectly. That's a success for this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a success with a glitch, so you get to choose your glitch.
I'm going to go with I take one harm. Maybe in my trying to enchant it, I get, like, magic splinter in my hand.
So as you're sketching out your circle, because I think that we've kind of established that's how Morwenna does most of her magic.
Yeah.
Circles and runes and stuff. Done that before. As you're sketching it out, the sphere laying on the ground starts kicking back and forth a little bit like a compass needle, possibly due to the spirit that Emily has already bound to it. It's searching for its target, and as it's whipping back and forth, you don't quite get out of the way in time, and it slashes you in the arm, and you take one harm, a bad cut, which I think if you're healthy enough right now isn't going to require any immediate help, but you are going to need to get that wrapped up, same as Rasmus, actually. You got nicked pretty bad there, too.
Just a little blood.
Yeah, just a little. But you do complete the circle and press the force into it, and as you do, it kind of, like, snaps straight up. So it's standing on end, dead center in the middle of the circle.
Perfect.
Which I think leaves Rasmus.
Yeah. So now that it's in a very convenient working position, Rasmus is going to kind of approach, and still with a little bit of blood on his arm, he'll just kind of wet his thumb and start drawing all the runes from the top to the bottom and walk around it and just, for want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse. And just go through the whole poem. All for the want of a horseshoe nail. And then finish the spell off and hopefully it went well. Yeah, that's a 9.
Excellent.
So my glitch is that the magic draws immediate unwelcome attention.
Fuck yeah. That's really what I was hoping for, because that really just moves us along, doesn't it?
It does. And I like moving along. But I'm also, at the end of the spell, once, you know, Proto Grungnir is done up, I'm going to take the spear and hand it to Essie.
Really? All right.
Yeah. But, like, so when I hand it to when I hand it to Essie, as far as I'm concerned, Essie is, in Rasmus's eyes, the wisest person he's met. And that's not supposed to be a slight to Morwenna or Emily, but, like, Rasmus knows a lot of book learning stuff. Not because he learned it, just because he has stuff floating around his head cavity. He's not good with people stuff. So Essie's been, like, a wise old monk for people shit. So as far as he's concerned, he gave it to Odin, right?
Hilarious. I love it.
All right. So yeah, with the unwanted attention, as you hand the spear to Essie, and actually, Essie, when you put your hand on it, you do get a little twinge of that sadness in you again, but then you start feeling fired up. You're a bit angry, even. And as you take it, you hear that scream again, and it does not sound like it's coming from the docks. It sounds like it might be coming from the back lawn. What do you do?
As Rasmus is handing her the spear, she's going to be kind of, like, surprised and be like, okay, sure, this is mine, totally.
What does holding the incredibly magical sphere feel like?
Yeah. No, this is my spear, dude. Yeah. Okay. And then, so, let me hear the scream. She's gonna look to the rest of the group. Showtime! And she'll do, like, jazz hands with one hand, and then march out the back door.
Like, literally march out the back door like a 5-year-old with a stick?
No, like,
oh.
Jog with purpose.
Okay, fine.
But then, like, stop for a second and not remember which door leads to the back lawn.
Oh, so, like, we're all still standing there, and then you, like, turn around and walk back the other way?
Yeah, I think she does one of those where she, like, jog marches off in one direction and then stops and realizes she's going the wrong way and then takes a second and then goes, follow me! And then walks the right way out the back door.
So as you come out the back door to a not huge lawn, but it's the back of the library. There's some space that's been set out because, although Morena can't believe it, apparently some people like to read outside.
Beastly.
Well, I suppose I don't want to tell you how your character thinks. It doesn't seem like she'd be the type to read outside where there's wind and bugs and...
Well, not so much the wind and the bugs, but you could sun bleach the pages and ruin the integrity of the ink.
Yes, of course.
There are only certain books that are allowed out there.
Mm-hmm. Reprints.
And none of them come from her library. So yeah, out in the back, there's a sort of a low stone patio with a few tables with parasols up on top of them. Nothing fancy, but like wood furniture. And then it kind of stretches out back, and it's a yard lined with large pine trees, which gives you at least a measure of privacy, which I would think is probably important for Morwena. So you come out, and you can see in the back corner of the lawn, there's a mucky brown patch in what is otherwise reasonably green grass that's growing in. What do you do?
Once she's outside, she's going to look at everyone else and go, I know how to throw the spear, but I don't know how to trap the monster. Help?
All right. That feels like magic time, but I have to think of what I'm going to do.
You could read this bad situation if you'd like.
I would love to. I'll read this bad situation. What do I roll for bad situation?
That is plus sharp.
Ooh, okay.
You're sharp.
Not that sharp, apparently.
Ooh.
Morwena walks out and gets really mad because a book got left on one of the tables. Doesn't notice anything.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 5.
Mark experience.
I did.
So, when you come out, I get to ask you a question. So, Morwena, what's the biggest threat to the monster?
Stabbing it through the heart, so I guess losing its protection from its goo. Because with the goos out of the way, we can see where the heart is, I imagine.
Well, I was getting at the big, shiny magic spear that Essie is carrying.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, no.
Yeah. You've poured so much magical energy into it that the monster is even aware of it now. And you can see the back corner actually starts to bubble. And more of that disgusting effluent you saw in the docks starts coming out.
I think Rasmus is going to protect someone.
Okay.
Specifically spear Odin Jesus.
If someone is about to suffer harm and you can somehow prevent it, you can try to protect them.
Well, because, like, the monster's clearly going for her, right?
Yeah. Although it hasn't started to attack yet.
So, I think... how do I want to protect her, though? Like, I can get in the way, which is fine. But then also, maybe try and, like, move it, if I can, somehow another direction. But get in the way, for sure.
I guess I don't need to get you to roll that right now. So you're putting yourself in a position to protect Essie.
Yeah.
So as long as you maintain that, then that should, I guess that'll be your action.
Yeah, just when it comes up, I'll roll it.
Sounds good. The effluent is spreading from the corner. It's actually rotting and killing the grass, probably a good meter away from where it actually is. And you can smell it. You can even see the green miasma starting to kind of... It's not like it's billowing out the same way that the effluent is bubbling out. It's just like if someone were taking like a spray can and just like gradually you can see the air getting greener in your area. Just very, very slightly. And the smell is getting stronger again.
I think Essie would start preparing herself, keeping alert for the moment where she sees the opening to hit the heart.
So I think you're also looking to read a bad situation then.
Yeah, I think so. And that is sharp. Ooh, not sharp. I am not sharp. Ayo, I got a 9!
Way better!
A 9! Good, that's a thing. So on a 7 and 9, you hold 1.
Because, like, I think the wording of this works for what I want to do. What's my best way in? Like, what's my best way into the heart with the spear?
To get within striking distance, right?
Yeah, like, what's my best way?
Your best way to get a good solid strike on it is to try and... Because you saw how it behaved before. When you guys got close and provoked it, it came out. So you need to try and bait it or provoke it out. And when it does, you only got to see it once, but you saw it kind of breached up out. So it kind of goes straight up out of the sludge. That would be your moment to strike. And as part of that, if you act on the answers, you get +1 ongoing. So if you get it up out of the wherever it is, and when it breaches, you attack then, you'll get +1 on your attack.
I would like to, in that case, start throwing rocks at it.
Okay. Are you just, like, looking for little pieces of gravel, or are you, like, tearing up Morwena's paving stones?
Like, decent-sized gravel, but, like, gravel. And, you know, I'll just start yelling at it.
And, of course, do you pass this information on to the rest of the team?
I don't know if Essie would think enough to actually just be like, oh, here is my strategy. I think she would just start throwing stuff at it and calling it names, being like, hey, you stinker! Why don't you come out and fight like a real monster? Just, like, being super obnoxious. Because she wouldn't actually, like, vocalize what her strategy is, because that would involve her actually thinking through a strategy all the way.
She's clearly trying to provoke it. She may not have thought it all the way through how she's going to do that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, clearly this plague-ridden corpse zombie whale cares what you think of it.
I might, if I notice that she seems to be trying to provoke it.
Oh yeah, she is clearly trying to provoke it. She just might not be going about it the best way.
Let me see. I think I have, if I use magic, I can do summon a monster into the world. I don't know if that would count towards forcing it out of its hidey hole.
Yeah, you want to try and draw it out, pull it out?
Yeah, with the magics.
Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
Morwena whiffed that one again and leveled up.
Nice 5.
What's the worst that could happen?
You know what? I'm going to use a luck just so we can get through this. I'm going to use my first luck of the game to get this son of a bitch out of his hole. It whiffs and then she gets mad and does it again.
You know, okay, can I just narratively...
She makes it feel the bun. That's how she does it.
I was going to say, narratively, I want the bun to come out. Like, take the hair down and then... fucking release the power.
Look, all I know is buns give you a big headache when you wear them really, really tight. You loosen
yes.
that.
Which is why she has no charm.
The hair falls down and it's like one of the, like the, what movie was that where they bet on her, like on being able to get her to go to prom and be prom queen?
She's all that.
She's all that, yeah, she's all that moment. The hair comes down and it's like a magical girl transformation where she's suddenly charming.
You're on a fucking staircase for some reason in a dress. Like, you're actually just set up for prom for some, like, no apparent reason.
You're just full gown. She's got the sparklies and rainbows. She's still an old lady, but, like she's the love interest of this movie now. She is suddenly incredibly charming.
By the power of the library, I shall punish you. All right, so you're pulling it up out of its hiding spot.
Yeah, forcing it out of the ground.
So is this like, I guess to picture, aside from all the magical girl transformations, is this like a use the force type thing? You got your hands out and you're lifting it up out? Or are you commanding?
I want all of these moments when Morwena is really angry and something needs to get done to be sort of like when she walked in on the guy trying to kill everybody and she was like, no. And then he just went and got stuck in the trap. So I want her to, like, try first, just, like, by, like, waving her arm up, have nothing happen, and then get very angry and do it with just one finger where she does the, like, come here, and then it pops out.
Right. Absolutely to the point. So you point, and then just point your finger up, and as you do, you can see the first part of the pointed skull come out. And I suppose I don't really need to be coy about this. It's a sperm whale skull, because they're long and pointy and have a bunch of teeth. And they're scary looking.
Nice.
And it's actually, like, it's a sperm whale. I mean, it's a whale skeleton, so, you know, it's just a big rib cage with a bony tail at the back. But I wanted it to have big humpback fins, because they're all big and fingery. So yeah, sperm whale skull, humpback fins, because it's just an amalgam, and there's rotting stuff coming off of it. So, you know, there's an eye, there's some other stuff.
Just generally goopy.
Yeah, yeah, it's just generally disgusting. So anyway, as you pull that out of the ground, and the blubber and skin clinging to it come up out of the effluent, Essie, this is your moment to strike.
I would like to strike.
Roll them big bones.
I would be happy to roll well. Oh, and I get plus one forward.
Yep.
12!
12?
12!
Okay, so I think on a 10 plus, you get to choose an extra effect. This thing is enchanted to go for the heart, and you succeeded and hit it.
I think I would like to inflict some terrible harm.
So you're just absolutely going for it.
Yeah.
So the spear streaks through the air just as the whale is coming up. You lead the shot perfectly, which is actually kind of surprising considering you're not totally sure where the heart would be. But you can see as the spear strikes the first bit of that rotting blubber on the outside, the blubber ripples away from it, like before it touches. And you just see it ripple back. You see the spear shatters through rib bones. And you can see that red mass of a heart in the middle. And it flies straight through it. And the whale's momentum stops almost immediately. And there is a horrifying scream that just resonates through all of you.
Can I offer something? Because, like, kicking ass harm is done to me as well. Would it be, just an idea, could the spirit that is attached to the spear, sentient weapon style, kind of get inside Essie's head and inflict some, like, psychic damage, for lack of a better term, where she's not used to magic at all, like having a force that big and it being like, yes, we are doing this, and it's like, could possibly be a way that she gets harmed.
Yeah, as you're throwing, just as your arm completes the throw, you feel amazingly powerful with this weapon. But the instant it leaves your hand, it almost feels like a static shock, and you feel just deflated from it as the spirit tears some of your energy away. Not just the energy of your arm that you use to throw the spear, but your willpower, your intent, because of course it has its own purpose, its will to do this thing. So it is using some of your willpower as well, and you feel, yeah, almost emptied by it. And yeah, like you said, it does hit you very hard because you're completely not used to magic. And you weren't expecting that because you felt awesome about 3 seconds ago.
Would that be one harm?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how mental damage works, but, you know, it's narratively interesting. I've gone
with it. Yeah, I like the idea of it. Cool.
So it hits the whale, and as it pierces the heart, a ripple passes through it from the center, and it just starts disintegrating from the top down. Like, it almost freezes in midair halfway out of the ground, and it turns just to, like, black ash, almost. And just from the top down, like a Silent Hill transformation. Like how the gross stuff kind of peels down and rots. And it almost disappears before it hits the ground. And the entire puddle follows this way. The grass is still dead in everywhere that the goop spread out. And the smell lingers, but the creature is gone.
Essie has fallen onto her butt before splatting onto her back.
I run over to Essie and go, "You did it!"
Oh.
Oh no, Essie?
Oh.
Are you okay?
Magic hurts. That's an angry stick. Oh, whatever you guys did to it.
Well done, Essie.
Oh, ow.
I offer to, like, help Essie up.
I'm just gonna lay down for a while. Is the sun still hidden? It's still overcast?
Yeah, it's still a bit overcast. It's not green anymore.
Okay. She's just going to lay down and look at the not green sky for a little bit.
Okay.
Rasmus is going to go over and you said pretty much all of it turned to dust, like the whale and everything?
Yeah, like it disappeared.
Disappeared or turned to dust? Because I was going to take a bit of it. Just keep it for later.
Sure, that's neat.
I was just going to keep like a photo canister worth, you know what I mean?
There's not a lot left. Like a lot of it kind of blew away, drifted off as it was disintegrating. But you do find a few little piles here and there that are kind of left behind.
What happened to the spear?
The spear, its purpose complete, lays inert on the rotten grass.
So like I don't feel like any of the spirit magic or anything, like it's done.
It's done.
Perfect.
Essie's just gonna chill for a bit.
Emily definitely feels very, very, very happy with the results of the magic. She actually goes and picks up the spear, kind of with the intent to keep it.
There is, because like the spirit you bound has been unbound because it completed what you told it to. The rest of it, I mean...
Technically, our effects are still on it.
I just want a memento.
Yeah, I would say they still are. Because you, not programmed it, but like you cast it so it would home in on that. But yeah, I would say it's still a one-harm magic spear. Just not a magic flying spear.
Well, actually, mine would still work, right? The growth? Because that was what I put on it, is the growy bit.
Okay, did it grow even larger then, when she threw it?
It might not be super noticeable when it's already a spear, but it would get longer, right? Like, that was my intention, because, like, longer spears fly straighter.
Sure, I can live with that. So it goes from, like, a relatively short spear that they would use in a play production, you know, so you don't need to be carrying around something huge, to stretching out an extra couple of feet.
Yeah, probably, like, from 5 foot to 8 foot, I would guess.
Which would be really unwieldy to carry around otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sounds cool. Add that to the armory. You saved the town. Congratulations.
As a note, the, like, whenever in the days following or whatever after this, when Essie's just kind of, like, chilling alone, sooner rather than later after this final fight, she's gonna, like, sit and be like, hey, spear friend, you still there? And she's just gonna, like, see if that spirit's lingering around, but she knows she can't hear them, so she's just gonna like remember that she can't hear spirits and be like, oh right, well, thanks, that was fun, we should do it again sometime. Ugh. And then shake her head. She had a lot of power and she felt really strong, of course she's gonna miss it.
Thanks for listening.
We've all been there, we've all said it. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Now with Casper mattresses, you'll sleep like the dead. Casper are the only mattresses made of genuine human memories. By spirits, for spirits, right here in the cold embrace of undeath. Sleep like the dead, only with Casper. Listeners can get free existential dread with their order by using offer code SPOOK at checkout.
If you like this, leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, share it with your friends, you can check out our website, thegroupproject.com, where sometimes we'll be posting stuff. Our intro music is Accept Myself by Too Mellow from his album Mindstreaming Volume 1. Just want to say big thanks for letting us use that. You can check out that and all of his other music at twomellowmakes.bandcamp.com. That's the number 2, M-E-L-L-O, makes.bandcamp.com. Thanks for chipping in on The Group Project.